Good morning. If you were expecting to see and hear a message from Pastor Matt today, I'm sorry, but you are stuck with me. A few days ago, Pastor Matt contacted me, and he asked me if I could give a Mother's Day message to my church family. And can I just say, it was this July, it will be 1 year, but I am so happy that in July of last year, I made the decision to become a member of Community Evangelical Free Church. It was such a wonderful decision for me to make because I love Community Evangelical Free Church. I love the fellowship, I love the music, and I deeply admire and appreciate the pastors, especially our lead pastor, Pastor Matt. I appreciate the ministry he provides, his wife, his two kids. So I'm delighted to be a member of Community Evangelical Free Church, and I am delighted on Mother's Day to give this message to you. Now, you know, these are strange times. This is a video recording, and you'll be listening to this again on Sunday morning, Mother's Day, but I'm delivering the message, recording the message on Friday morning. And so these things are weird. Furthermore, I'm recording this message in my apartment here in Granger, Indiana, and you're viewing this recording from my living room. And I'm sitting in my favorite chair, and behind me, as you see, to be more serious now, a portrait of my family. I wanted you to not only hear this message, a message that I hope to share my heart with you, a message that I'm not going to be wasting your time. I believe what I say is going to be very helpful, maybe impactful for you, because I come to you as someone who loves my family. I believe my children, if you were to ask them, what is your dad like? They would say without, hopefully, reservation, my dad loves his family. He is a devout family man. And I'm going to say something that may surprise you. For my whole adult life, I've been a pastor, a lead pastor. And I have spent, again, my whole adult life focused on things in the church. And yet it is my heartfelt conviction. What really is important, what our focus must be if we do indeed love Jesus, seek to glorify God. If we love our family, again, it is to focus on the things in the home. What is taking place in the home? And so I'm happy on Mother's Day to talk about what should, what must, what our focus should be, not in the church, but in the home. In the home. Especially as it relates to mothers. As I was again thinking about what to say in the past few days, I've given a great deal of thought, and this may surprise you, to a young man named Timothy. And so we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul says about Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. We're going to look at chapter 3, what Paul commands Timothy, and then in the light of what Paul says about Timothy, what he commands to Timothy, we're going to go to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at Proverbs 31. So, with that said, get your Bible. And I'm going to use, in honor of my wife, two of her Bibles. For those who may not know this, maybe a few of you do know this, my wife was a devout student of the Bible. And while she had a number of Bibles throughout her Christian life, I know from the year 1993, until her death, she had two Bibles. For 14 years, this was her Bible. It was the International Inductive Study Bible. My wife loved K. Arthur. She was a devout fan of K. Arthur. She was a level 3 precept ministries Bible teacher. My wife would spend and help women how they could learn to study the Bible. And then my wife, in my judgment, was a better Bible teacher than her husband. So for 14 years, this was her Bible. And then I've done many foolish, stupid things in my life as a husband, but 13 years ago, I hit a grand slam home run. 13 years ago, as a Mother's Day gift, I purchased and gave my wife this Bible. This Bible replaced this Bible. This Bible was the International Inductive Study Bible, and this Bible is the New Inductive Study Bible. Again, they were Bibles from Precept Ministries. And what I see as I read these Bibles is my wife was such a devout student of the Bible. And she would write in her Bible, take notes in her Bible. She would use her pencil, her red ink pen, or her black ink pen. And her Bibles are just filled in the margins with notes. Well, I'm going to use her Bible. If I could, as I turn to, you should be there already in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 5. And before I read 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, when you think of Timothy, when you think of Timothy, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The answer to that question is given by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:5, where he says this about Timothy: "For I am mindful of." What was Paul mindful of? As he thought about Timothy, he says, "The sincere faith within you." What came to Paul's mind when he thought of Timothy? His sincere faith. In other words, Timothy, his faith was authentic. His faith was genuine. His faith was real. Timothy was no hypocrite. There was no deceit. There was no deception in his life and faith. In other words, Timothy was the real deal. Now, how did this come about? How was it possible for this young man to have a sincere faith, to be the real deal? The answer is given as you go on to read verse 5. This sincere faith, Timothy was the real deal because he had an example, two examples. The examples of his grandmother and his mother. We don't read anything about his grandfather, nor do we read anything about his father. I would assume, could be wrong, that both his grandmother and mother were widows. In other words, Timothy was actually raised by a single mother. And what happened in his life is said in verse 5, it says, which, this sincere faith that dwells in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. They, grandmother, mother, what took place in the home, not in the church, in the home, they were able to pass on. They were the real deal. And they passed on their sincere faith to Timothy, the grandmother's grandson, the daughter's son, and Timothy was the real deal. Now that's something I think I share with Timothy. Now, he's young, I'm old. But I believe as Timothy was the real deal, I hope you could agree with me in my assessment of me. It sounds arrogant, but I believe that Roger, yes, Roger, I possess sincere faith. I believe my faith is authentic. I believe it's genuine. I believe it's real. In other words, as you look at me on your screen, you're looking at the real deal. And as Timothy was influenced, had the example of a grandmother mother, I had the example of two women, my mother and my wife. Now that's what Paul says about Timothy. If you could go to chapter 3, this is what he says to Timothy. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Evil men, imposters, will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." In other words, he warns Timothy, there's some bad actors out there, Timothy. Some bad actors, some bad people, evil people, deceitful people, hypocrites, Timothy. Now, in that light, Timothy, you, verse 14, you, Timothy, however, you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Knowing, Timothy, you know something, Timothy, knowing from the pronoun note, whom you have learned them. In the original language, that pronoun whom, from whom you have learned them, is a plural pronoun. In other words, there's more than one person involved. And the more than one person are persons, in the light of chapter 1, verse 5, we would say grandmother, mother, Lois and Eunice. And so Timothy is commanded to continue in the things he had learned, become convinced of, reminding himself, knowing, being assured he had the example that occurred not in the church but in the home of whom he had learned them. And of course, we have the familiar passage in verse 15, and that from childhood you, Timothy, have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom, Timothy, that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So chapter 1, what he says about Timothy. Chapter 2 is what he says to Timothy. And I believe, again, I share something with Timothy. He was a young man. I'm an older man. But both of us, we are who, in Timothy's case, he is who he was. I am who I am. Both of us were the real deal because of the example and influence of two women. In Timothy's case, his grandmother, mother. In my case, I had a wonderful mother, and I had a great and glorious wife. In that light, let's leave 2 Timothy. Let's go to Proverbs 31. By the way, I do believe real men cry. And these are just tears of happiness and joy, giving thanks to God on Mother's Day for the mother I had and the wife that I was able to be married to for 44 years. Well, in Proverbs 31, again, I'm going to my wife's Bible, and I wish you could see what I see. She has an outline in black ink. She has comments in red ink. And I'm just overwhelmed by this because, again, my wife, she was just a big fan of Kay Arthur. My wife knew a number of godly women, okay? And yet as my wife read, studied, she not only studied this, read this, she taught this to other women. In the margin of her Bible, her study Bible, she has written in red ink, not the name of Kay Arthur, she has the name of my mother, her mother-in-law, Dorothy Coulter. In other words, a woman that she knew for 48 years. 4 years she knew her as the mother of her boyfriend, and the mother of her boyfriend became for 44 years the mother of her husband. And just think of the high and holy compliment my wife gave to her mother-in-law as she reads studies, as she teaches this to other women on her thoughts, where was the example of her mother-in-law, Dorothy Coulter. In other words, what happens in Proverbs 31, what does a sincere faith look like? How is a sincere faith displayed, not in the church? You don't read anything about in the church here in Proverbs 31. You read about what takes place in the home, in the home. And so the question is, what does that look like? And I believe in God's providence, we have Proverbs 31, the description of what a sincere faith looks like in the life, in the home of a wife and mother. Now, let me just say something to the men of Community Evangelical Free Church. You need to read this. You need to study this as well. Not only your wife, not only the mother of your children, because you need to support your wife in her endeavors. You need to support her. You need to encourage her so that she can display in her family, among her children, if need be, as in the case of my mother, her daughter-in-law, what a real, genuine, authentic faith looks like. If I may, I'd just like to just read with a few comments. I'll be using my wife's notes on this day, Mother's Day, in honor of her. Well, verse 10 begins with the question, an excellent wife, who can find? And by the way, it's a given that the excellent wife is also an excellent mother. Because as you'll see, as you read through Proverbs 31, you have three references to her husband, and then toward the end, you have a reference to her children. So an excellent wife is also an excellent mother. And the question is, who can find? And so what we have here is the very words of God describing what I believe a sincere faith looks like in the life, in the home of an excellent wife and mother. Well, my wife, her outline, there's 10 D's. The first D is devotion. Devotion. It's verse 10 through 12. It reads, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain, and she does him good and not evil all the days of her life, her devotion. In verse 13 and 14, in the margin my wife has written in black ink, the two words that begin with D, duty and delight. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands. My wife has underlined the prepositional phrase, the two words, in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. What's amazing to me, if I can just share my heart with you, I was quite shocked as a pastor when I got involved in marriage and family counseling. It was something that I was not prepared for. There are women who are wives and mothers who are not happy. They're not happy. They're not happy being a wife. They're not happy being a mother. That was certainly not the example I saw. My mother my wife, what I saw as I was raised, what I experienced in my home and in my family was that my mother and my wife, they were happy. They were delighted to be wife and mother in their families. In verse 15, you have the fourth D. It is discipline. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Verse 16, you have her discernment. The word discernment begins with D. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. In verse 17 through 20, you have another word that begins with D, her direction. Direction. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Can I also brag about my wife? My wife was a gifted seamstress. My wife would actually make beautiful clothing for her children, her three daughters, and our two twin sons. She even made a three-piece suit for me with a vest, and I wore it proudly. So she was a skilled seamstress. And my wife, as I hit a home run, Grand Slam home run for Mother's Day 13 years ago, and I gave my wife a Bible for Mother's Day in 1985, my wife, for a Christmas gift, as a Christmas gift, she gave to her mother-in-law, as a Christmas gift, a Bible. And as you can see on the Bible, she made a beautiful Bible covering. As a skilled seamstress, she could. And she gave this Bible to her mother-in-law as a Christmas gift. And for the rest of my mother's life, until she died a few years ago at the age of 93, this was her Bible that her daughter-in-law gave to her as a Christmas gift. I had a pretty wonderful wife, didn't I? Skilled, gifted, multi-gifted, talented. You may be thinking, why could she possibly then be so unwise as to marry you and put up with you? Well, let's go on. In verse 21 through 25, you have her decorum. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, and for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Verse 26, my wife has, for verse 26 and 27, she has written another word that begins with D, her discretion. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. My wife concludes with a word, the ninth word that begins with D, dedication. Now, before I read verse 28 and 29, I did something that I don't expect another pastor to do. But 2 years ago, in honor of my wife and for my wife, I conducted the funeral service. My children knew that their dad wanted to do things the right way. And there was only one person who could do things the right way, and that was me. And so I conducted the funeral service. And toward the end, or at the end of the service, in the light of verse 28, I had my children come forward, and they stood together at the left-hand side of my wife's coffin. They were on the left-hand side, standing together at my wife's coffin. I was already standing on the right-hand side before a pulpit speaking to the people gathered for the funeral service. I did so because of what verse 28 says. Her children rise up. In other words, they stand up and bless her. Her husband also, he rises up. He blesses her and he praises her. He praises her, saying, and then I quoted the quotation, the exact words found in verse 29. My mother, she possessed a sincere faith. And my wife, she so possessed a sincere faith that her children, her husband, all those gathered knew that this was so truthful of Deb Coulter. Many daughters have done nobly, but you. You excel them all. And those words were certainly true of my wife, the mother of our children, Deb Coulter. In verse 30, if I had my way, I would burn this, spiritually speaking, on the heart of all the women and also the men of Community Evangelical Free Church. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord, shall be praised. Now, my wife had 9 words in her outline to begin with D. I like to add a 10th. This begins with D. Give her, verse 31, the product of her hands. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Have you been wondering? I've never seen Roger in a suit. I have a white shirt on. I have a nice tie. I think I look pretty good today. Why am I doing this? Why did I dress up in my very best? I believe a mother and the responsibilities she has must not be a thankless job. Mothers should be honored, especially on Mother's Day. In honor of my mother, in honor of the mother of my children, and in the honor of all the mothers at Community Evangelical Church, I'm wearing my very best because, again, it's not a thankless job. I thank you. I honor you. And more than that, God Himself, He honors the excellent wife, the excellent mother. May I honor my mother today. My mother was a remarkable woman. For her family, her 3 sons, 3 daughter-in-laws, and she had 10 grandchildren, and she had multiple great-grandchildren. And I don't know if she did this for the grandchildren or not, but I do know what she did for her 3 sons, her 3 daughter-in-laws, and her 10 grandchildren. Probably she did this for 3 or 4 of her great-grandchildren. My mother, every year for their birthdays, would send them birthday cards. And she would write on the birthday cards in her own handwriting the words found in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 6, we have the blessing that Aaron and his sons, they were to bestow upon the people of Israel, upon Israel. And in honor of my mother, and may I just conclude once more, all that I was desiring to do today was to honor mothers, to help mothers, to help us in our family. What's important is not so much what takes place in the church, but in the home, in the home. If your desire as a parent is to raise children who possess sincere faith, the process is what takes place in the home. For Timothy, for Roger, it was the example of two women. For Timothy, it was his grandmother, mother. For Roger, it was the example of my mother and my wife. In honor of my mother, may I bestow God's blessing upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Have a blessed Mother's Day.